You're listening to the LCJ Q&A podcast. We're back. Glad you're joining us here. It's Lights, Camera, Jackson, and with me, the director of the new movie, Woody Woodpecker. It's on DVD and digital this Tuesday, February 6th, Alex Zam. Alex, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to have to be on your show and to be part of this and to help bring Woody Woodpecker to life. And I will add one more thing to you, that the release is also on Netflix, day and date worldwide.
Fantastic. Everybody can check it out there as well. That's great. You know, Alex, my introduction to Woody Woodpecker was a Woody roller coaster ride at Universal Studios Orlando about 10 years ago. It was so fun. It was so fast, bright red. What was your introduction to Woody Woodpecker?
You know what it was? I remember coming home from nursery school as a kid and flipping around the channels that had a lot of the retro cartoons, and just loving this character who was lovable and obnoxious at the same time. He always seemed to be getting away with things that we all wish we could get away with. Mm. And so I think at an early age, I loved the troublemaker characters.
And for those of you out there who aren't quite as familiar with Woody Woodpecker, and I think this goes along with his style, talk a little bit about his optimism.
That's a funny thing. I think he's an unsinkable character. And maybe that it's interesting that you say optimism. I mean, he's a 75-year-old character. There's over 200 shorts made with him. And he's had many incarnations where he was in the early days. His design has changed over the years, but he was very anarchic, and he became, like a lot of great characters, much more humanoid and friendly and cuddly and cute. But I do think that he has a temper, but I do think that he's unsinkable. He's determined more than anything else.
So being the co-writer and director of this new Woody movie, how many of those classic cartoon episodes did you watch as preparation for this film?
All 200.
Wow.
It became a schedule of whatever we had seen over the years growing up and whatever I had been exposed to. I thought we really just should start from scratch and watch them in order. And luckily Universal had put out two different box sets of Woody and the Walter Lantz world. And so we really just sat and started from scratch and really took a class. It was like a master class in watching the evolution of Woody and how he's, at the same time he may have changed physically, but he stayed consistent in terms of his spirit.
Mm. And what was that design process like as far as Woody going from the classic hand-drawn look to this new CGI version?
You know, I think we felt a lot of responsibility because you don't want to disappoint fans. And everybody, it's like with Superman, you change a belt or a cape and everyone has a feeling of what they love about that character. So I tried to say if we move beyond his physical appearance, what's the DNA of the character that everybody that's cut across all those 75 plus years? And it was his red hair tuft, it's his laugh. It's the speed with which he moves, and then it was how he his silhouette changed. He was much more round bellied before and bottom weighted, and then he became much more top weighted. And we started looking at him and saying, what type of person is he, and how old is he? Because cartoon characters sometimes it's hard to know how old they are, and we kind of felt that he was as a troublemaker and a little antisocial and a little he's a very independent. We thought he's a perpetual teenager. So we tried to model his physicality more on that of a teenage proportions. And then we went through a lot of the design phase of there were cheats that happened in 2D, and so we had to see how to make those work in 3D. But we played subtly with his proportions so that we would make his beak as elastic as possible, that his run and walk cycles gave us maximum squash and stretch. We wanted his hair tuft and his tail feathers to be as expressive as possible, so in the rigging and design that they could express the adjuncts to all his emotional expressions. So if he's afraid, maybe his tail feathers or hair tuft shoots up. or if he's being sneaky, maybe they curl up into little curlicues as he's sneaking around. So we were very aware of how he started in the design, but the character we found that everybody knew and loved the iconic one was really the last design phase, where he has the 1950s style pompadour. So we drew, that was probably the strongest anchor for the design, but then we deviated it from it slightly to adjust for the things I talked about.
You talk about the speed of the movement of the character, but there's also got to be a lot of speed when it comes to the comedy. He's got a timing style all to his own. Talk a little bit about trying to get his dialogue right.
Well, I mean, the dialogue and the physicality are really married with Woody. And in terms of all the actors I've worked with, live action and animated, he's the fastest. I've never seen an actor who, I'm on set mapping out his motion paths, but then you find out, we found it very quickly by the end of the first day, that he can move much faster than we can. So it was very exciting to have such a highly kinetic and caffeinated character. And then we would, once we knew how much energy he was emitting, we started working with the voice, and the voice is always the voice. It's been established for a long time. It's a high-pitched voice. It has a very specific frequency, or the secret sauce, as we call it, in terms of taking the normal recording, and then it's sped up and pitch shifted, sometimes line by line, so that it has the maximum effect.
Because you've directed several other films like Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, Dr. Dolittle Million Dollar Mutts, they've got live-action animals as the main characters. Here, you have an animated character as your main character who is an animal. Did that particular aspect for you prove to be a challenge?
Well, I think every movie has its unique challenges and unique workflow and problem-solving skills. You know, in some ways, you know, I've always been involved in animation. I started as a cartoonist, gag cartoonist for magazines, and I got very involved in a lot of animal cartoons I was doing. And I always loved how animals show us our humanity. Mm. And it was a lot of fun to do something like Beverly Hills Chihuahua or Dr. Dolittle, where you're really using the physicality of the animal and then imbuing them with human emotions by digitally replacing their faces. And that's a lot of fun to do, but you're somewhat limited. You're limited often by what the animals can really do. And then you go to full CGI animals, and even in Beverly Hills Chihuahua, there are a couple of shots that are full CG dogs, because there's certain things we couldn't get the dogs to do. But it was very freeing to go into full CGI lead character. It was because he wasn't behaving exactly like how a bird would or a human. He was really true to the spirit of Woody.
And I love the fact that when you watch the Woody Woodpecker movie DVD, you also get this great Walter Lantz short, one of the classics, Woody at Niagara Falls. You see that on the social media accounts, Twitter as well, over the past few weeks. Now, in the movie, Woody has to protect his home from a new 5,000-square-foot blue house that's being built. So, Alex, are you really a wilderness guy, or have you ever interacted with any wild animals?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually. I actually grew up in Woodstock, New York.
Really?
And,
wow.
Grew up in the woods on a very remote bit of property. In fact, my parents built their house, and I helped out with the construction. So building of a house stage by stage was something that I was familiar with, and all the problems of it, and also learning to cohabitate with nature. And I had, talking about wild animals, always growing up with animals, my mother is someone who's like St. Francis of Assisi or Dr. Dolittle herself, so she was always coming home with wild animals. And so we always were involved with animals as a big part of our life. And one time, a nearby where I grew up, there was a construction site, and someone had killed a groundhog. It was a mother that had wandered into the site. It was one of the construction workers. So the baby was wandering around looking for its mother, and my mother, of course, adopted it. So we grew up with having a groundhog in the house named Marvin Mammal. And he would sleep in my bed and follow me around. So it was always this interesting balance between him being feel being a wild animal and a domesticated animal. It was always because he could get nippy if he wanted to. But, no, I've always grown up with animals all around the house and have always been very comfortable with them and everything from snakes and owls and everything in between. But I love films about animals. I think there's something wonderful because we're, like I said, we're looking for our, we find our humanity that reflect our idiosyncrasies and what it means to be human. And they're great vehicles for reflecting all of our idiosyncrasies and foibles.
So when you were coming up with the story for this Woody Woodpecker movie, you must have used your childhood as real inspiration for it.
I think you always find something personal in your movies or any story. And for me, this finding balance is always a wonderful theme. And for especially the lead human character played by Tim Omundson is Lance Walters after Walter Lance. And he's out of balance with his, like many of us feel, with he's not connected to nature, he's too involved too much in work, he's lost a little connection to his son. And I think everybody's looking for balance in the world, in their own lives, whether you're battling a woodpecker or just trying to balance a normal day. But I think that's a pretty universal theme, and I was thrilled that Universal let me make a very ecologically minded movie also about preserving nature.
So, Alex, I'm going to end with a question out of the Barbara Walters playbook, since of your love of nature as well. If you were a bird, what kind of bird would you be?
If I was a bird, what kind of bird would I be? That's a really good question. Well, now, having spent time with Woody, I think being a woodpecker would be fantastic. You might get a headache from all the pecking, but I think a woodpecker, I see their impish spirit. I think they would enjoy that. Second choice would be an owl. They're just incredibly soulful and wise animals.
Yes, they are. My grandmother loved owls, and so I took that love upon myself as well. So they would be one of my favorites also. Alex Zam, congratulations on Woody Woodpecker. I hope everybody checks it out. DVD, digital, and Netflix this Tuesday, February 6th. Alex, thanks for being on the show.
Jackson, thanks so much for having me, and it's really a pleasure. What a great magazine and blog, and I'm looking forward to your podcast.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm Lates Camera Jackson. This has been another edition of the LCJ Q&A.